You got to have a purpose, have a vision. I was very fortunate that I stumbled onto my vision. I mean, as you know, I was born in 1947 in Austria after the Second World War. And I didn't really like Austria when I grew up. I couldn't wait to get out of there. I couldn't see myself becoming a farmer or a worker in a factory or anything like that. Even though my parents wanted me to stay there and have a normal life. My father wanted me to become a police officer like he was. My mother wanted me just to stay there and marry a girl with the name of Heidi, hopefully, and have a bunch of kids and run around like the Van Trapp family in The Sound of Music. But that was their vision, not mine. My vision was totally different. I felt that I was born for something special, for something unique, for something big. Then one day I went to school. I remember I was 11 years old, and they showed a documentary about America. And there they showed in this documentary the huge skyscrapers, the high-rises, the huge bridges, the six-lane freeways, the huge cars with the wings sticking out, and all of this stuff. And I said to myself, that's where I want to be. I don't want to be around here with these little farmhouses and these little buildings and everything is old. I want to be in America. One day after school, I walked by a store in Graz, which was called Brühl. And it was the only store that really sold kind of American stuff. So one day, they had jeans there, American jeans. And then they had the bullwalker. And then they had an expander and some barbells and some dumbbells and an exercise bench in the window. So I went inside and I looked around and I looked at this stuff, and then I saw a magazine. I saw a bodybuilding magazine that had Reg Park on the cover. Reg Park was then a three-time Mr. Universe. And I saw him on the big screen as Hercules. And on the cover it said how Reg Park, Mr. Universe, became the Hercules star. That's what the cover story was all about. So I looked at the cover and I said to myself, I got to get this magazine. So I bought the magazine, I took it home, and I read it over and over from the front page to the back. It had everything in there, how he trained, how he was working out in Leeds, England, in a factory town, how he worked out every day for 3-4 hours and became the strongest man of Europe, and how he won Mr. Europe and Mr. Great Britain, and then eventually Mr. Universe. And how he won the second Mr. Universe and the third Mr. Universe. And how he was discovered to play the starring role in Hercules. I read that and I said to myself, wow, this is the blueprint for my life. This is exactly what I want to do. I want to become a bodybuilding champion just like Reg Park. I want to get into movies just like Reg Park. And I want to make millions of dollars and be rich and famous, just like Reg Park. 74% hate their job in America. Now, there's not much different when you come to Europe. The majority of people don't like what they're doing, because they're really not doing it because they didn't have a goal and they followed this goal. They just aimlessly drift around, and then all of a sudden there's a job opening, so they get that job because you have to work. But then when you work, it's a chore. It's work. It's not fun. So if you think about only a quarter of the people really enjoy what they're doing in life, that is unbelievable if you think about it. So I felt so blessed that I knew what I was doing. It's like a medical student that studies and knows he wants to become a doctor. You know where to go. So I knew where to go. So people always ask me, when they saw me in the gym in the pumping iron days, they said, why is it that you're working out so hard? 5 hours a day, 6 hours a day, and you have always a smile on your face. The others are working out just as hard as you do, and they look sour in the face. Why is that? And I told people all the time, I said, because to me, I'm shooting for a goal. In front of me is the Mr. Universe title. So every rep that I do gets me closer to accomplishing that goal, to make this goal, this vision turn into reality. Every single set that I do, every repetition, every weight that I lift will get me a step closer to turn this goal into reality. So I couldn't wait to do another 500-pound squat. I couldn't wait to do another 500-pound bench press. I couldn't wait to do another 2,000 reps of sit-ups. I couldn't wait for the next exercise, for the next half hour of posing and all the kind of things that you have to do to be a champion. And with the age of 20, I went to London and I won the Mr. Universe contest as the youngest Mr. Universe ever. And it was because I had a goal. Visualizing a goal and going after it makes it fun. You got to have a purpose no matter what you do in life. You got to have a purpose. They told me this, and your accent, even if you reduce all your body weight and everything and have a normal body, your accent, I said, your accent, I mean, it will go give people a goosebumps with the German accent. It will get people the creeps. They will get scared. He says, no one in Hollywood ever has become a leading man that had an accent. Doesn't happen. People in America want to hear their actors talk like John Wayne or like Burt Reynolds or like Clint Eastwood. Don't listen to the naysayers. Everything I ever did, the thing that I heard out of people's mouth was, that's impossible. That can't be done. Oh no. I remember when I wanted to be a bodybuilding champion, including my parents and everyone else around me, said this is impossible. Why don't you become a ski champion? That's what they do in Austria. Or a bicycle champion, they'll do some track and field. You can't be a bodybuilding champion. That is exactly what I heard, and of course I proved to the people that it can't be done. So whenever someone said to me, it can't be done, I heard it can be done. When they said no, I heard yes. And when they said it's impossible, I heard it is possible. When you start doubting yourself, that's very dangerous. Because now what you're basically saying is that if my plan doesn't work, I have a fallback plan, I have a plan B. And that means that you start thinking about plan B, and every thought that you put into plan B, you're taking away now that thought and that energy from plan A. And it's very important to understand that we function better if there is no safety net, because plan B becomes a safety net. It says that if I fail, then I fall and I get picked up and I have something else there that will protect me. And that's not good.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
Because people perform better when there's no safety net. People perform better in sports and everything else if you don't have a plan B. I'm telling you, I've never ever had a plan B. I say I made a full commitment that I'm going to go and be a bodybuilding champion. I made a full commitment that I'm going to be in America. I made a full commitment that I'm going to get into show business and I'm going to be a leading man. No matter what it takes, I will do the work. I will do the work over and over and over until I get it. And the same was in politics and everything like that. So to me, it is very dangerous to have a plan B because you're cutting yourself off from the chance of really succeeding. And the reason, one of the main reasons why people want to have a plan B is because they are worried about failing. What is if I fail, then I don't have anything else? Well, let me tell you something. Don't be afraid of failing, because there's nothing wrong with failing. You have to fail in order to climb that ladder. There's no one that doesn't fail. Michael Jordan said in one of his interviews, when they said, "You are unbelievable, you're the greatest basketball player of all times. I mean, tell me about that." And he says, "Well, you're just mentioning the successes." But he says, "For me to become the greatest basketball player, I missed 9,000 shots when I was playing basketball at the NBA games. So during these games that he was so successful, he missed 9,000 shots. Does it make him a failure? No. He's one of the greatest basketball players of all times, but he failed 9,000 times. Do you get it? We all fail. It's okay. What is not okay is that when you fail, you stay down. Whoever stays down is a loser. And winners will fail and get up. Fail and get up. Fail and get up. You always get up. That is a winner. That is a winner. I failed in bodybuilding. I lost bodybuilding competitions. I lost powerlifting competitions. I lost weightlifting competitions. I had movies that went in the toilet and that were terrible and got the worst reviews. And in politics, I remember I had many of the initiatives on the ballot and we lost. My approval rating in California went down to 28%. And then it went back up again and I won again the governorship. Hey, we all lose. We all have lost us. This is okay. And this is why I say, don't be worried about losing, because when you're afraid of losing, then you get frozen. You get stiff, you're not relaxed. You got to be, in order to perform well in anything, if it's in boxing or if it is on your job or with your thinking, is only happening when you relax. So relax. It's okay to fail. Let's just go all out and give it everything that you got. That's what it is all about. So don't be afraid to fail. I believed that I can be a leading man. I believed that I could be another Clint Eastwood or another Burt Reynolds or another Warren Beatty or whatever those characters were, Charles Bronson and so on. I believed that I could be those people. I said, there's enough room on that ladder that I can fit up there. And I looked back again and learned from what I learned in sports. In my case, in bodybuilding. It's all about the hard work that you put in. And after I did Conan the Barbarian, the director at the press conference said to the press, if we wouldn't have had Arnold, we would have had to build one. The very body that they said can never be sold because the time is wrong. A few years later, I'm doing Conan the Barbarian and it was the number one hit at the box office when it came out in the summer of 82. Think about that. And the director says, if we wouldn't have had his body, we would have had to build one. So all of a sudden, my body became an asset, not a liability. And the same thing was with Terminator. After we were finished filming Terminator, Jim Cameron said to the press, if Arnold wouldn't have had that accent and talked like a machine, I think the movie wouldn't have worked. So think about that. The body and the accent that they attacked was an asset. But I didn't listen to those losers. I didn't listen to them at all. Work your ass off. There is no magic pill. There is no magic out there. You cannot get around. You have to work and work and work. And Muhammad Ali worked his butt off. And I saw it firsthand. And I remember that there was a sports writer that was there in the gym when he was working out and he was doing sit-ups. And they asked him, how many sit-ups do you do? And he said, I don't start counting until it hurts. That is working hard. And so you can't get around the hard work. It doesn't matter who it is. As a matter of fact, I believe what Ted Turner said, work like hell and advertise. Work like hell, go to bed, and early to rise, work like hell and advertise. So you work your ass off, and then you let the world know about your work. That's what it is all about. Let people know if you have a company, if you have a movie, if you do a sports. Work your ass off, but then advertise and let everyone know. Imagine if you would work on a business, on some business that you want to develop every day for an hour. Imagine how further along you will go and get. So it drives me nuts because we have, when people say we don't have the time, we have 24 hours a day. We sleep 6 hours a day, so that gives you still 18 hours. The average person works around 8 to 10 hours. So let's assume it's 10 hours, so if you have 8 hours left, then you travel around an hour a day, maybe 2 hours a day. So now you have still 6 hours left. So what do you do with these 6 hours? But you can see how much time there is available if you organize your day. So you got to work hard. I mean, let me tell you something. When I went to America, I went to college. I went and worked out 5 hours a day. And I was working on construction. Because in those days in bodybuilding, there was no money. I didn't have the money for food supplements or anything. So I had to go to work. So I worked on construction. I went to college. I worked out in the gym and at night from 8 o'clock at night to 12 midnight, I went to acting class 4 times a week. So I did all that. There was not one single minute that I wasted. And this is why I'm standing here today.